Tonight, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29 is where we'll start. You might want to get a piece of paper, a pen, or a pencil, or crack your knuckles, get your fingers ready to turn to a lot of scripture tonight. Tonight's going to be more of a Bible study than a message, but I'm sure it will turn into a message. But a reminder, this Wednesday, the services on Wednesday are going to be at 5:30. Moving it back 1 hour to 5:30, so not 6:30 on Wednesday. So if you come on Wednesday and you show up at 6:30, we'll be just about wrapping it up. I can't say church will be over because I have a tendency to go over a little bit, not much, 10, 15, sometimes 20 minutes, but that's okay. But anyway, 5:30 this Wednesday, and again, next Sunday night, it will be the services are going to be at 5 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock like they are tonight. And these times will remain until the end of winter, all right? And I'll give you a heads up several weeks before we turn the times back. But just kind of change things up a little bit, give people some time to come to church that still want to come, even though it's going to... Because I was even thinking, you know, sometimes it gets dark at 4:30 in the winter. So does that mean go back and have church at 3:30? But I will leave it at 5:30 for, all right. But 5:30 on Wednesday, 5 o'clock on Sunday night starting this week. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. Let me get there. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. And the Bible says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Father, we do thank you that you have revealed so much to us through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for giving us of the Holy Spirit to be our guide and our teacher. Lord, teaching us, Lord, the things that you would have us to do. Lord, helping us to understand the scriptures. Lord, no one can understand the scriptures without the Holy Spirit. And Father, even at that, sometimes we still don't quite understand it. But Lord, thank you for just the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide us through the scriptures, to teach us, to cultivate his fruit in our lives so we can walk in the Spirit. We can walk in the fruit of joy and peace and love and meekness and temperance and long-suffering and patience. Father, I ask that you would just bless our time together tonight as we do go through the scriptures. I pray, Father, you would just draw our hearts, help our hearts to burn within us like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that when Jesus revealed himself and then disappeared in front of them, they said one to another, didn't our hearts burn within us as he expounded the scriptures unto us? So, Father, help our hearts to burn for the word of God. Help our minds to be drawn to the truth of your word. And I pray, Father, that in our spirit, in our soul, we would rejoice over the promises of your word. Father, just ask that you would bless our time together tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to us about the sevenfold power of God. I was trying to remember if I had done this before, and I couldn't remember. I tried looking back and to see maybe when I had done this. I feel like I have, but it's all right because there's nothing new in Scripture. I mean, it's good to be reminded of and to go over it again because, you know what, has your God lost any power whatsoever? No. He still is all-powerful. He's still all-knowing. He still loves us. And I just want to go over some truths tonight about the sevenfold power of God. And I wanted to start in Deuteronomy 29. Take your Bibles, go to Romans 11 and verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Because Deuteronomy 29 tells us the secret things belong unto the Lord. God hasn't revealed everything to us. Because honestly, if God revealed everything that was going to happen in your life to you, I dare say we would probably run the other way. Like, Lord, I don't want to go that way. I mean, isn't that what Jonah did when God said, I want you to go to Nineveh? He ran the other way, right? And the Bible specifically says he fled from the presence of the Lord. You can't flee from God's presence. He sees you everywhere you're at. but with the secret things belonging unto the Lord, but yet those things which he has revealed to us belong to us, and he has revealed a lot to us in the scriptures. And one thing that he has revealed is his power, and he has a sevenfold power because we know God's powerful. And in this, in one of these, I don't even bring up tonight the fact that he's the creator and he spoke everything into existence. We understand he did that. The world wants to reject it. The world wants to say, you know, billions of years ago, you know, two rocks collided and, you know, here comes life, here comes oxygen and all the things that is needed for life to be sustained on this planet. Okay, believe it if you want to. I kind of believe in a God that says, let there be, and it was. So we're not even going to get into the fact that he's powerful in just creation. But there are some things I want us to be reminded of tonight that will encourage us in our relationship with the Lord and will remind us that he's in control, even though sometimes the world seems out of control. It's still in God's control. So we can rest assured and we can lean upon those everlasting arms that never fail. So in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, the Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. God's wisdom and knowledge is so deep, we cannot find it out. We just will never know everything there is about God, but he has revealed some things to us so that we can know God and we can be comforted in God and we can faithfully follow God even when we don't understand things because we know that we are following the one who understands everything. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? I don't know if you've ever heard that saying before. Many pastors have said it before, and evangelists, you know, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God's not caught off guard by anything that happens in this world. He wasn't caught off guard that Satan slithered into the Garden of Eden and tempted Eve, and she ate the fruit and gave to Adam, and he ate the fruit. God wasn't caught off guard when Cain, full of jealousy, murdered his brother Abel in cold blood. God wasn't caught off guard. He knew it was going to happen. But he gave Cain space and opportunity to repent from what was in his heart because God said, sin lieth at the door. He tells Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Right? So God gives him an opportunity to choose not to respond to the jealousy that was rising up in his heart against his brother, right? But he still chose to reject what God said and to kill his brother, all right? So, but again, you and I can trust God because, yes, he knows everything and he has all power. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and then we'll get into the sevenfold power of God. But just to remind us again, Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. Verse number 18, Jesus is ascending back up to heaven and he speaks to his disciples one last time as he is being caught away in the clouds. And Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I love that Jesus just lets his disciples and us know that all power is given unto him. I've said it before, the devil has a little power, and he does some wicked stuff. I mean, he's got some power, but he doesn't have all power. He still has to get the okay by God. We see that in the life of Job. But again, tonight, the sevenfold power of God, and it starts with the fact Jesus is God. And these are things that you already know, but I want to go through them again so they're on our hearts and minds tonight as we enter in this new week, as we just see things unfolding with Israel and Israel's enemies that are around her, that all power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth because he is God. Jesus is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, either you're writing these down or you're going to flip to it. If I don't hear any pages rustling, and don't worry about it, I'm just going to read them off of my notes. Otherwise, I will flip to them because there's a lot of scripture and I really don't want to keep you here until 10 o'clock at night. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 24, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. I don't have to go to work tomorrow, so I could stay here till 10. It's the days that I have to go to work that I don't want to stay here late. All right. Anyway, no, but this would be the perfect place, right? If God decided to sound the trumpet tonight, this would be the perfect place to be to go up, right? To be caught up in that rapture. But anyway, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because how can you get people, sinful people all around the world into heaven? Because they can't get into heaven by their own wisdom and by their own strength and by their own money. So how can you get people into heaven? Well, God's wisdom had the plan of salvation before he spoke one thing into existence. The plan of salvation, right? Jesus Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. The power because the blood of bull and goats could not cleanse one sinner. God gave the Israelites those commandments and those different offerings and stuff, but it never cleansed one sinner of their sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all sinners. Doesn't matter their nationality, doesn't matter their background, doesn't matter their sinful nature. Some people aren't as sinful as other people in human eyes, but to God, all have fallen short of the glory of God. But you think about Jesus Christ, the power of God. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Some people want to separate Jesus and God, but they are one and the same. Some people want to separate God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and say, well, they're three separate gods. No, they're one. And sometimes we can't understand that, but they have their distinct offices. God's the creator. Jesus is the Savior. The Holy Spirit is the indweller, right? The Holy Spirit is the one that sanctifies the believer and changes them from the inside out to be like Christ, because God had predestinated every born-again believer to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. But again, what a wonderful thing that God, there is, I mean, just think about this. There is not a God that is worshipped by people and have been worshipped by people throughout the history of humankind that came and died for their subjects. There's a lot of false gods that people worship, and not one of them came and died for their subjects and died in their place for their subjects. In fact, the false gods want their subjects, their people, to die for them. But our God came and died for us. God, Emmanuel, God with us. Christ is the power of God because Jesus is the fullness of God. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man all at the same time, yet he chose to be subject to death. He chose to live in a sin-cursed world, to die on an old rugged cross to show he has power. Realize that all the healings that Jesus did was to prove who he was to the Jews, that he was God, yet so many denied it. I mean, Even the Pharisees, they couldn't deny the miracles, but man, they kept denying Jesus. I mean, even when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus rose from the dead. He wasn't unconscious. He had been in the grave for 4 days. Because even Mary says to Jesus, when Jesus says, roll the stone away, she says, Lord, by now he stinketh. He's been in there for 4 days. So Jesus shows that he has, you would think by calling someone out of the grave the way he did, people would be falling down saying, thou art the Lord, thou art the Lord, like they did on Mount Carmel when fire fell from heaven upon the sacrifice and the people's hearts turned back to God and said, God is the Lord. But no, the Pharisees, they just, how do we get rid of him and how do we kill Lazarus? I mean, the one he just raised from the dead. Regardless, I mean, Jesus is the power of God. Sometimes, you know, well, God needs to show himself to me. God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I've heard people's testimony like that when they're seeking, you know, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. God's okay with that, but let's not blaspheme him as a born-again believer saying, well, God, if you love me, you need to do this. No, someone who's lost and they really want to know, is God real? Because I've always heard that God isn't real. And they, Lord, if you're real, show yourself to me. All right? God wants that person to know Christ. But you and I know Christ and we know the power of Christ because is there anybody in here tonight? And be honest with yourself. You don't have to raise your hand, but be honest with yourself. Is there anybody in here tonight that is worried that they might not be saved? If so, the scripture tells us exactly how to have assurance of salvation. But probably, as far as I know, there's probably no one in here that's worried about that. I mean, if you are, talk to me after the service. But think about the power of Christ. He has the power to save you. He has the power to keep you saved. So don't worry about it. I mean, I don't. I knew of a man I used to work for years ago that he hardly ever slept. He was scared to death to go to sleep at night because he just believed if he went to sleep, he was going to die. And he was a religious man, but he was in the wrong religion. His God gave him no peace whatsoever about his salvation. He was scared to death about dying. But the power of Christ, we know he died on the cross for the sins of the world. His blood was powerful enough. And he saves anyone that will come unto him, and he gives us the peace on the inside that everything is fine. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Someone says, well, how was God manifest in the flesh? Through Jesus Christ. I mean, during the days that Christ walked upon this earth, the people saw their Jehovah. They saw Jehovah. They saw their God. And many were drawn to Christ because of who he was. He wasn't, you know, the handsomest looking fella, right? He would not have gotten voted to be the handsomest guy of the year. He was someone that was despised and rejected, someone that, you know, didn't draw people because, you know, he was good looking or had lots of money, but there was something powerful about him that drew people to him. Because even when he would speak, they would just say, man, what, the power that he has when he speaks and when he reads, he's not like the scribes, right? So again, Jesus is the power of God. Look at, take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And look at verse 17 through 19. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Why is Jesus the power of God? Because it was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Nobody else could do it. But you know what also that reminds me of? The fact Jesus is the power of God and God was in Jesus reconciling the world, but that tells me how much God loves me. That God didn't send an angel to do it, but God came himself. Jesus Christ is God. He's not a God, he's the God. He's the one and only true living God. And he loved you and me and everyone else that he came himself to die in our place. He chose it. So Jesus is the power of God, and the name of Jesus is powerful. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's believing on the name of Jesus Christ. There is salvation in that name. I mean, you already know the power that's in that name. The demons cannot stand the name of Jesus, but they bow to the name of Jesus. And there, again, you know, there's people that use Jesus' name as a dirty word. Man, but when you hear Jesus, when you hear even me say the name Jesus, that should do something to your heart. Because that's a name that you trust in. That's a name that reminds you one day I'm going to see my Savior. That's someone I know that loves me and someone who's faithful to me. I mean, if somebody, and I'll be honest, the Lord would have to help me not to do it, but if somebody were to tell me in my face something bad about my wife, God would have to hold me back from punching them out. Just being honest. Because that's how much I love my wife. And that's how much you should love somebody in your life that, you know what, you're willing to defend them. But you know what? You think about when someone says the name of Jesus in a dirty, derogatory way. That should do something to us. That should make us bristle. That should make us, please don't do that because I love that name. That's a name that needs to be esteemed. That's a name that we need to protect. You know what? You would shock the other person if you just, out of love, said, hey, would you mind not using that name as a dirty word in front of me because I love that name. You would totally shock them, and probably they might respect it and say, you know, I won't do that. Because it's a powerful name. It's a name that we love. In John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Again, reminding us that God's will was for you and me to be born again, to be born into the family of God, and it's only by believing on the name of Jesus Christ. Remember the man there at the beautiful gate at the temple? Peter and John go up at the hour of prayer, and he's lame. He's been lame since he was born. And Peter says, look on us. And Peter says, you know, basically in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And Peter extends his hand like an encouragement. And he does. He grabs him by the hand because he puts his faith in the name of Jesus. And like I said before, it may be because he saw Jesus heal people and he just never could get to Jesus, had no one to take him to Jesus. But he knew enough about Jesus that, you know what? That's the name I'm going to trust in. And he believes, right? Because there's power in that name. And you and I have believed on that name. Don't stop believing on that name. So many Christians have just fallen by the wayside because they stopped believing on Jesus for one reason or another. Don't stop believing on the name of Jesus. There's still power in that name. There's still power in the blood of Jesus because he is your Savior. Probably just a light bulb flashing. It's okay. Okay, everybody's still here. The rapture didn't happen. Either that or we're in trouble. Just teasing. All right. Acts chapter 10, verse 43 says this: to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And those disciples Jesus gave power to heal and to cast out demons, they came back excited. You read that in Luke chapter 10. They're like, Lord, I mean, even the demons are subject. I mean, they were excited. I mean, we just cast them out in your name, and they fled. But you read on, and Jesus says, don't glory in that. Glory in the fact that your name's written down in heaven, right? But again, you know what? There is power. If you ever feel you're being bothered by demons and the devil's picking on you, tell him to go home in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not up to us to fight the devil. He's already a loser. Jesus fought him. Jesus took the keys of death and hell from him. But because we're the children of God and Christ is our Savior, and greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world, when you feel like you're in that spiritual battle, you feel like the demons are picking on you, you can tell them in the name of Jesus Christ, leave. And they have to obey. They have to obey that name that has all power and all authority. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. And because there's power in the name of Jesus, there is power in the Word of God. I'm just going to flat out tell you, it is important that you have the right Bible. There's power in the Word of God, but if you have the wrong Bible, then it's going to be watered down and it's not going to be very powerful. The King James Bible is the correct Bible to have as a born-again believer. There are people that will not agree with me, and that's okay. I still believe it is the Word of God. I have testimonies of different pastors. Go to Luke chapter 4, if you would. Luke chapter 4. I have testimonies of different pastors who would counsel people that had some demon problems. Demons are still real. Sometimes we kind of, you know, we think, well, you know, that was back in Bible times. Things are different now. Though there's still demons because the devil is still alive and kicking for now. There are demons that possess people, that plague people, oppress people. And I've heard testimonies of pastors that would be counseling somebody, and they knew they had a problem. They knew they had a demonic issue. And purposely the pastor would have his King James Bible closed, and he would have an NIV or some other version open. And he could tell the person was a little antsy, because there's a little bit of light in those versions because there is some truth in them. But this one particular pastor I'm thinking about, who I'll leave nameless, he opened up his King James during the conversation, and as soon as he opened up the King James Bible, the person that was a little antsy became very agitated. So much so, they said, close that book. I don't want to see that book. Close it. They started talking in not their normal voice. There is power in God's word, and God's given us. You know why the devil, if there was no power in God's word, the devil wouldn't fight against it. He would not fight against you reading it. He wouldn't fight against you meditating on it, memorizing it, if there was no power to it. Because the devil and the demons know that God's word is powerful, and God's word will help us defeat them in our life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Jesus was there in one of the synagogues, and he on the Sabbath day, he read out of the scroll there, and the people were just astonished because he read with power. He just go on. It says, not like the scribes. So, you know, I try not to do this, but you ever listen to someone read and it's just real monotone and mundane? It's just like no feeling to it. Well, when they heard Jesus read the Word of God, they were like drawn. I mean, that's what the Bible's telling us. They were like, there's something different. I mean, he reads with power but also with love and compassion, because it's His word, right? Just quickly, let's put our eyes on John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word," capital W, "was with God, and the Word," capital W, "was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Him who? The Word. God's Word, Jesus Christ, who is God. "And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Again, Jesus Christ being the Word, His Word is powerful. Luke chapter 4, verse 36 says, "And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power He commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." Yes, because His word is powerful, and He has given us the ability to use His word in our life. It is His word that changes us from the inside out. You already know the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. I mean, it cuts to the heart. It shows us where we're even deceiving our own selves with the wrong thinking. I mean, that's just how powerful God's word is. I cannot tell you how many times that I've gone to God's word not thinking about anything, just, okay, I need to read the Bible, and start reading, and God starts dealing with me. God starts bringing stuff to my mind. It's like, Lord, I just came to read the Bible, but okay. Because God wants to talk to you. God wants to deal with you. I mean, if we can ever get to it, because things keep coming up, I am going to start the series on correcting wrong thinking through God's word, all right? Because it is God's word that will show us where we have some wrong thinking in our life, and everybody has wrong thinking. Everybody has wrong thinking to some degree because of how we grew up, because of things we heard, things we read, people we've listened to, and we just took it as truth and we just, you know, kind of ran with it, all right? But the word of God is so powerful. You ever wonder why you have to fight yourself to read it? You start reading it and, you know, your eyes get heavy and droopy, but you can read anything else and you're wide awake. At least that's still the case with me, because it's the devil fighting. He doesn't want you to have the word of God dwelling richly in your heart. He wants everyone to think, that's just old stuff. I mean, I can't understand it. That's just the number one excuse people use. Well, I can't understand that Bible. Well, the Holy Spirit helps you to understand it. And again, if there is that much resistance in reading the King James Bible, that's always told me that it must be the right one, because there's so much resistance in it. There's no resistance in the other ones. Now, is somebody wrong for reading the other ones? If they know the truth, yes. But there's so many people that don't know the truth. They find one that's easy for reading. But like I said this morning, someone that seeks God with all their heart, they'll find God and God will lead them to the truth. So as before, my wife, you know, she grew up reading the NIV. And it wasn't until later on, I mean, it's I always laugh at it, but if God can use a donkey to speak to Balak, He used a Mormon woman to talk to my wife and tell her, "You've got the wrong Bible. You need to read the King James." A Mormon lady telling my wife she needs to read the King James Bible that they won't even read. And just, it was like, well, God uses donkeys. God will, someone that's seeking the truth, because my wife, she's had a walk with God since she was a little girl. She's always wanted the truth. I'm saying that God will show you the truth. He will lead you to the truth when you're seeking it with all your heart. Again, in James chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. God's word is so powerful, it opens up the heart and mind of someone who's hearing it. We're going to get to it in the next point, but preaching, that's why preaching is so important. Some people don't like preaching. They just want to hear somebody talk. They just want to hear, you know, like a 5-minute, what someone may call a sermonette, and then send us home. I try not to do that, and I do apologize for sometimes, you know, going an hour and a half for a service, but I just can't stop unless God wants me to stop, because there's points that he wants me to get across, points he wants us, you know, to understand in the Word of God that he wants us to just really soak in. So I try to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as well as being sensitive, you know, to people, because I understand the pews are hard. They're not comfortable. But when your heart and mind is focused on the Lord and you're drawn to the Lord, you forget everything else. You forget everything else. Because there, I'm kind of getting off on rabbit trail, but there's times where I stop preaching. My ankles are swollen because of the accident that I had. But it doesn't keep me from wanting to hear from God. God's word is so powerful. Don't allow yourself to neglect it on a daily basis. Look for it. Run to it. Read it. Hide it. I've told people that have a hard time reading, get it on tape. Listen to it. Let it play and just let it ring in your ears. Again, the word of God, James, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, God knows my heart. I've heard Christians say that as they do things purposely wrong. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. He knows that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God does know our heart. And you realize that the more you read the Bible and the more I read the Bible, the more we're going to see what's wrong in our life. I dare say that's probably why sometimes people don't read the Bible, because they know God's going to show them what's wrong in their life, and they actually enjoy the wrong things they do in their life. But again, as you have a heart for the things of God and you want to get closer to God, your heart's going to be drawn to the Lord. Again, those two disciples on the road to Damascus, they were upset. And Jesus, remember, Jesus came to them and said, you know, what's this sad countenance that you have? Because Jesus had just been crucified. Now they're hearing that he rose from the grave, but his body's not there, and they're perplexed, and they know he was crucified, and they're not sure what to make of all these rumors of him being alive. So, I mean, they were grieving over the whole thing, and Jesus expounds to them the word of God from Moses until the present time. He expounded to them how Christ was supposed to come and die for the sins of the world. They remember, and they invite him into the home because it's evening time to eat with them, and Jesus is the one. He's kept them. They don't know who he is. He's kept them from knowing who he is until after he prays over the bread, breaks it in front of them, and as soon as he breaks it, their eyes are open. They realize it's Jesus, and he disappears. Did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke the word of God, when he expounded the word of God? Don't allow Bible reading become a routine. We are easily conformed to creatures of habit. We just get into routines and we do it, and sometimes it means nothing. Even with church service, we've got to be careful that we guard that. You know what? There's something special about coming to church. There's something special about sitting and hearing from God, from God's word, in a group of believers in the body of Christ. Sure, we have our formality, and you know what it is, but I shook things up. I've changed some time, so that's going to get used to. I mean, I might end up being late Wednesday. I don't know, because, you know, used to being here at a certain time. Now I got to go back, you know, earlier. You know, we just get used to that. Don't allow your Bible reading to just be that. something you check off. I did that today. I would say when you're reading your Bible, if you feel nothing while reading it, keep reading it. Don't say, okay, I read my chapter. Because God has something to say. We're busy. Our schedules are busy. Things to do. But we can't do anything without God. It is God's word that helps us to have a sound mind. Remember, we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 1, God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We have to have a sound mind. That comes through the word of God. Because the word of God is like water. It cleanses our mind of all the garbage that we've heard and even the things that we've believed for years. God works on all of us very slowly. There's not a single person in here that's on the same spiritual level. We're all on different levels. Because God works on us different because we're all unique. We're different. Different backgrounds, different personalities, different things we struggle with. But it is the Word of God that helps us to be on the right track with the right mindset. The more you read God's Word, the more you're going to fall in love with the things that God loves. And God loves the nation of Israel. Doesn't love their sin. They're not a sinless nation. In fact, Tel Aviv makes, if I had to compare it to the city, I would say Madison, Wisconsin. Because Madison, Wisconsin is so liberal and so homosexually driven. Tel Aviv makes it look like child's play because Tel Aviv is just so ran by homosexuality. God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. The more you and I put the word of God into our hearts, the more our hearts are going to beat like God's heart. We're going to be like David, a man after God's own heart. We're going to hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. I mean, there's so much hatred in the world towards Israel. Well, I expect that from the world. But God's people that are born again should have a love for God's people. Again, the Word of God is very powerful. It will change our hearts. It will change our thinking. It will help us to be able to deal with day-to-day life. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4 says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou?" And who is our king? Jesus, the King of Kings, and this is his word. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Number 4, the fourth power of God is in preaching. It is in preaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish." You know, people, again, this is kind of weird. You coming to a church building to listen to some guy preach, that's weird. But it's the power of God. I mean, to some it seems foolish, right? But it's what God has ordained. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved." It's the power of God because we're hearing from God. We're all on the same page. Can you read your Bible on your own? Yes. But God has ordained that God's people gather together and hear a message that God has laid upon the pastor's heart for God's people. This isn't, when I preach, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to us. Because when I pray on Sundays and Wednesday, I say, "Lord, speak to me too. Even though I've written all this out, Lord, will you speak to me? I don't want to just be a mouthpiece. I want to hear too. I want to be involved with the hearing process and the convicting process." Preaching is supposed to convict us. Just like reading God's word should convict us at different times, hearing the preaching of God's word, there should be something. We should always walk away with something that we've received from God. If you walk away on any given day where you've come and heard a service, and you walk away thinking, "What was that about? I didn't get anything out of it. It's not my fault. I'm the messenger." I can't change anybody's heart. Because you know what? I've been in the pew where I've walked away from a service and said, what was that about? I didn't get anything out of that. And the Holy Spirit said, what, you weren't listening? Because sometimes it's easy, I'm not saying you do, but sometimes it's easy to pick the pastor apart because he said something wrong, you know, or whatever. I don't like the tie he's wearing. I mean, people, I've been in church long enough and I've heard people. People just have some weird things. It's like, just listen. Listen to God. Forget the man. I mean, unless he's preaching and teaching heresy, right? Saying preaching, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And what is preaching? You realize you're supposed to preach too? God's called you to preach. Not like me, but maybe somebody in here God is calling to preach, to be a pastor, to be a missionary. But preaching is proclaiming the good news. And what is the good news? Jesus Christ saves. So everywhere we go, we're supposed to be proclaiming the great news, the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Remember, the Bible tells us in the last days people will be drawn away with itching ears because they want to hear something new. They're tired of the old stuff. They want to hear something new. The first time I preached for my pastor, he was out of town and he wanted me to preach for him on a Wednesday, and I don't want to do that. No. But I did. I mean, I took off work because I took off work and I was like all day trying to, you know, get ready for this message all day long. God's brought me a long ways from that day. I still have my moments, but I just remember just preach the simplest message. I know it was out of Matthew. I don't remember what all it was. I was so relieved when the service was done. Was, knees stopped knocking. I go out back. Service is over. Prayer requests are done. I had this guy come running to me and say, that's it? You don't have anything new? You remember that, Sandra? Now, the guy, he was there to cause problems. He was there to cause problems. He was trying to draw people out of their church into his little religion. But the fact is that he'd come running to me and just, you got nothing new? I'm like, what's new in the Bible? Is there something in the Bible that no one has found before? I mean, you know. But again, it's, okay, so some people, they want to hear something new. When you hear John 3:16, if I say, turn to John 3:16. What are you thinking right now as you're turning to John 3:16? You don't have to tell me, just, think to yourself, what are you thinking? Well, that's such an old verse. I mean, I already know that verse. Why do I got to turn to it? Well, because sometimes it does us good to look at a verse that we know by heart, but to still put our eyes on it. Because you realize that next Sunday, if I just want to preach John 3:16, some people will fall asleep. Some people will turn me out because I'm saved. What do I need to hear John 3:16 for? Because it's the Word of God, and it still has power in it, right? Because what is John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know who said that? Jesus. You know who he said it to? A religious man that needed to be saved. Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus came to him by night. You go to the beginning of the chapter. Came by night. He said, we know that thou art from God, because no man can do the things that you do except God be with them. And what did Jesus do? He knew Nicodemus' heart. He knew Nicodemus was looking for the truth. He wanted the truth. He came by night so the other Pharisees wouldn't see him. But Jesus just cut to the chase and said, you must be born again. You know, there are people that don't even like that phrase, born again. Oh, you born again Baptist. But Jesus is the first one that used it. You realize you read throughout Scripture, nowhere else will you see you must be born again. Jesus said you must be born again. And what did Nicodemus say? Well, how can I go back in my mother's womb? He didn't understand it, right? And Jesus says to him, how is it that you're a ruler of Israel and you don't understand these things? But again, John 3:16. It is a simple verse. It is a verse that, you know what, when you hear John 3:16 or you see John 3:16 somewhere or you just see, you know, 3:16 somewhere, it should put a smile on your face, joy in your heart because you know what John 3:16 is. And praise the Lord, there was a day that God opened up my understanding. I understood that I needed Jesus. And I cried out to him. There's still power in the Word of God. Let's not allow ourselves to get to a place where, the Word of God, when I get time. Because it is what God has ordained for the Holy Spirit to take into our hearts to change us from the inside out. There's still other things I want to talk to us about. We'll do it next Sunday. But just think about those things tonight. There's power in Jesus Christ who is your Savior, and there's power in His Word. Do you ever hear God talking to you? I hope so. I hope you hear God's voice speaking to you. I hope you know His voice. Because it's a relationship with a living God. Not a dead religion. God speaks to His children. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. You will know the voice of God, even in a multitude of voices. You'll know His voice. Just like if all of you were talking at once and my wife called out my name, I'd hear it. And I would know it was her calling me because I know her voice very distinctively. I know her voice. We have to know God's voice very distinctively. So stay submissive to the Lord. Stay in the Word of God. Let the power of God still work in your life. Just submit like Paul did so the power of Christ may rest upon your life.